Y'all heard those arguments a long time. And the thing we got to do is understand that the Scripture cannot contradict itself. It has to agree. It's perfect. Read Psalms 119. It talks about how great and wonderful His Word is. Everybody knows the flower faded, the grass withers, but the Word lasts forever. Forever. How long is forever? And how many generations, when He says He commanded it for all time, the word is olam in Hebrew. Forever. The word is forever. The problem with past argument is this. The law that we call law, we have a misunderstanding of what the word really means. The word law in Hebrew is where, you know, we had a Hebrew Messiah. He was born by a Hebrew mother. He was king of the what? Jews. And the new covenant, who's it with? Read Jeremiah 31:31-33. Who is it with? Is it with the Gentiles? It doesn't mention the Gentiles. It says, it is made, the new covenant is made with the house of Israel. It's not Israel. It's Israel in the original Hebrew. And with the house of Judah. Does not Paul teach that you're grafted in Romans chapter 11? Now the argument was, the Sabbath was not made for anyone but the Jews. Well, if you turn to Isaiah 56:6, turn to Isaiah 56:6, and your scriptures plainly talks about the Gentiles that join themselves to Israel will keep the Sabbath. That's what it says. Now, when he talks about it in Colossians and all of Paul's writings, you know, it's Paul this, Paul said this, and Paul said that. But you know what? Actions speak louder than words. Turn over to Acts 21. Acts 21, the question was about circumcision. What should we tell the Gentiles? The argument was there was those that were of a sect that came and said they have to be circumcised in order to be saved, and then they have to keep the Torah in order to be saved. That was the question. So Paul goes to Jerusalem to hear from the elders and the apostles what the truth of this matter is. Now what I want you to know is this. You remember the story about Ananias and Sapphira. How they went and they give their money and they laid it at the apostles' feet. These men were filled with the Spirit. Remember Acts 2? They came on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. The day of Pentecost couldn't have fully come if it was abolished. Now Luke was writing this about 30 years later. By the Spirit, he said these things. So he couldn't be writing about a day that fully come that was nailed to a cross. That was contrary to you and against you. That's not true. So here he is. We're in Acts 21. He comes. What's the these people have to, in order to have salvation, they have to be circumcised? That was the argument. Do they have to be fleshly circumcised? Well, if you read through what you call the Old Testament, I call the Tanakh or the Torah, the teachings and instructions, so that's where we get our misunderstanding. We think a law is something that can be abolished or we can amend it. You know, we got millions of laws in the United States. Millions! Now, we always talk about 613 commandments, they apply to you. Some didn't apply to everyone. Some are for priests, some are for women, some are for... And he's right about the sacrifices and things. But let me tell you, if you do away with all of the old covenant, guess what you do away with? Messiah! The order of Melchizedek came before the Aaronic priesthood. So if you do away with the Aaronic priesthood, then you do away with Messiah, who came by the order of Melchizedek. He was from the beginning. You remember the Torah started, the word Olam means without time and mind, from the beginning to end. Infinity, you see. It's like the one who gave it. So, here we are, with that in mind. They understood these things. Paul was a Pharisee. We read from Romans chapter 7, and he says things that contradict what Pat said. The law is holy, just and good. By his own admission, the law that he's talking about there is the one that Pat thinks is abolished. How can it be holy, just, and good and contrary to you and against you and make and send you to hell and cause you to fall from grace? How is that possible? That's oil and water. The Torah is not an oil filter. The Torah is Messiah. We are what you would call, we're labeled sacred neighbors. We don't use, and there's a reason why. Because when you read Leviticus 23, what you hear is, it's the law for the Jews. That's what you've been programmed to think. You see, it's not for you. It's the same deception that was in the Garden of Eden. You only add, when you add to the word, remember the 2 Timothy 3, 16-17? All Scripture is given by inspiration, profitable for doctrine, proof, correction, instruction, righteousness. All Scripture. What is Scripture? Is it Genesis? Is it Exodus? Or are we going to tear it out and throw it away and say it was contrary to us, against us? But under the law is under the curse of the law. The sin. We're all guilty. There's not one person living today that's perfect. Not one. The only one that was perfect was Messiah. Paul knew these things. He knew. When you get to Acts 21 and they're there about the circumcision, do you have to be fleshly circumcised? The Torah says no. How old was Moses? Did he find grace in the eyes of the Creator before he was fleshly circumcised? It was a sign, a shadow of things to come. The Colossians weren't keeping the Sabbath. They were keeping pagan days. Let no man judge you but the body of Messiah. The word is there is something the translators put there. Let no man judge you if Messiah... Who are you supposed to call it? 1 John 2, 6. 1 Corinthians 11, 1. 1 Peter 2, 21. Follow Messiah. Matthew 10. Messiah said, follow me. If you don't follow me, you're not worthy of me. Did Messiah keep the Sabbath? Luke 4, 16. What did he do? Luke chapter 2. He's a Hebrew Messiah. He's there on a feast day. The status of Yahuwah and Leviticus 23 are clear. These are the appointed times of Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh. Now the word Lord is not in the Scriptures originally. They're in yours. They're in yours. So that's what I need to go over a little bit with you. I think this is what probably caused us to get a misunderstanding about the law, which you could say is the law of Christ. Who is Christ? Who is he? Well, Paul knew who he was. Yeah, they were going to have some new people come in and there was a question that needed to be answered. So they, as the body of Messiah is supposed to do, edify one another, you know, get together, talk things out. That's what they did. That's what he went there for. He says in Acts 21, verse 20. We'll start there. And when they heard it, they praised the Master, said to him, you see, brother, how many thousands of Yehudim there are here who have believed and are all ardent for the Torah. The past argument was, it's just for the Jews. Just for the Jews. And they have been informed about you that you teach all the Yehudim who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses and not to circumcise the children or to walk according to practice. What then is it? They shall certainly hear that you have come. So do this. What we say to you, we have four men who have taken a vow. Take them to be cleansed with them and pay their expenses so that they shave their heads. And all shall know that what they have been informed about you is not so. Not so. But that you yourself are orderly, keeping yourselves the law. Now you can get a scripture that restores the true intent and meaning, the spirit of the law. The difference between the covenants was the spirit of the law and the letter of the law. The letter of the law killeth. Paul says that. The letter of the law killeth. Why? Messiah explained it. If you think that you can just get by with not committing adultery, but that you can go in your closet and secretly lust after a woman, you're wrong. That's the letter of the law. It's just... That's all you have to do. You can go and you can fantasize. You can look at whatever you want to. But he says that's not so. That's not the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law, the true intent of the law, is for you to not to violate it in any way. Now, we know that as parents. We tell our children, like I've told Tucker, don't eat cookies before dinner tonight. Don't eat them. Don't you ruin your appetite. So, Tucker, here's what I say. Now, the true intent of that was for him not to ruin his dinner, right? But you know what he went to eat? He went to eat some potato chips. We do that. That's our human nature. We try to subvert. But you know what? You can't do it. And when you say that Paul taught against the law, and that he made the law contrary to you because he told you not to keep the Sabbath, told you not to do this, told you not to do that, he's going to send you and burn you, you're going to die and go to hell. He didn't say that. That's not what he said. That's not the true intent of the Torah. He can't say these things are not so. You see, if it was not so 2,000 years ago, it's not so today. It's true today. See, all Scripture is given by inspiration, proper doctrine, proof, correction. Kefa said that Peter said that Paul was hard to understand to those who don't know the Scriptures. Does anybody know how long it was, approximately, before the first book of the New Testament was written? About 20 years, wasn't it, Pat? 20 years. That's what the scholars say. We don't know for sure. It was a while. But now, if you believe that James, whose real name was Jacob, by the way, if you believe that he and all the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem did not have the gift of the Spirit and could not discern that Paul was not telling a lie, you're mistaken. Ananias and Sapphira thought they could get by with it. But they didn't. They scared them out. So your words will judge you. What you think, what you teach your children is going to judge you in the last day. What else is going to judge you? It's Messiah's words. So that's why when we talk about the Sabbath, or we talk about any law, first we got to understand. First, we've got to understand who did it. I mean, that's the nature of law. I mean, like the girl that's accused, where is it, France, for killing somebody? She didn't. She's a citizen of the United States. She was over there in France and supposedly killed somebody. She, now she's repentant. And she had to go by the laws of France. Now, if we're citizens of the kingdom, we've got to go by the laws of the kingdom. You want to be a law of the king? You want to be a citizen of the king? Then you have to keep his laws. So what we need to know is, you thought you had computer problems. Tucker, you want to see if you get this up?
Mr. Sutton, those computer preachers have problems, don't they?
I'm telling you, brother. Computers, computers.
You may hold your time.
Please, you don't mind. I probably won't go too much. How much time I got left?
You got near 7 minutes.
So y'all got a website. You know what it is. www.bible.ca. Is that Sam or Canada?
Canada.
Start my time, Tom. Well, this is an illustration that they use. This is how you can see, if you're looking for a local congregation, you're going to see that your congregation is listed here. If you're conservative Church of Christ, this is where you're going to find your website. And they're using this to say that the Jehovah's Witnesses are wrong about the divine name. Now, if you look at Colossians 3:16, it says that you must do all in the name. We all had that favorite song we sing. Do all in His name. You know the song. Are we doing everything in His name? I don't think so. And here's why. They say that the Jehovah's Witnesses, if you'll see below your little chart here, abuse the divine name in order to have Jehovah in the New World Translation must claim the Bible has been altered and corrupted. Like all cults, they destroy the reliability and manuscripts of the Scripture. I have here 26 pages that I cut out of the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. 26. Small print. Small print. 6,828 times. Which says that his name is not L-O-R-D. It's Yod He Rahe in the Hebrew. And I say Yahuwah. Farrell Jenkins says it's Yahweh. Farrell Jenkins, everybody knows Farrell Jenkins? You get on his website, and he'll tell you that Yod He Rahe was in the Scriptures 6,828 times. Now, I don't know everything about Jehovah's Witnesses. That's not my point here. The point is, you're right. You're right. They do alter the Bible. Because Jehovah's not right. And you say that. And you go on and he does a good job of it. He makes a few erroneous statements. And now what, Tucker? Yeah, anyway. Now the clicker ain't working.
It's the bottom.
This is Professor George Howard at the University of Georgia. When the Septuagint version of the New Testament is used, by the way, this is the scriptures they had in Corinth and Colossae and places when Paul was doing his preaching. This is the version of the scriptures that they used, the Septuagint. You see, it's the Hebrew translation, the Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures. They were Greek-speaking people, so they used the Septuagint. In the Septuagint, he says, when the Septuagint version of the Septuagint church used and quoted contained the divine name. Now, we have proof of that. We have pictures, literal pictures of actual, factual documents that show the name in Paleo-Hebrew. Not in Greek, in Paleo-Hebrew. The oldest manuscripts had it in Paleo-Hebrew. They contain the divine name of the writers of the New Testament, including without doubt the Tetragrammaton and their quotations. Biblical archaeological review, March 7, 1968, page 14. Not only that, in the Talmud. Anybody know what the Talmud is? The Mishnah? The Talmud and the Mishnah is the oral law. That was the part of the wall that was between us. The rules and regulations of men, doctrines, the word dogmas is only used five times. It's always referring to the words of men. So this is what Paul is talking about. He can't say that law is holy, just, and good, and then turn out to tell you it's going to send you to hell. He can't do that. That'll make him a liar. Do you understand? A liar. So I guess we've got to click on next again. There it is. And here's another quote from your the proper name of Elohim in the Old Testament in the Scriptures. The name of God is the most significant, and understandably so, it is inconceivable to think of spiritual matters without a proper designation for the supreme deity. This is extremely essential. It's the third commandment. The one that was, y'all think, nailed to the cross. Oh, but it was reinstituted. Well, make up your mind. Make up your mind. Was it good enough then? If it was, all of it was contrary to you and against you. You see that oil filter? It was changed. The reason it was changed was because that's what it requires. If he wants to make a change in the priesthood, that's good. They had hard hearts. You don't. You don't need the Aaronic priesthood. You've got Messiah. You don't need it. But you got to... let's move on. So, here's the stunning admission. The name of Messiah could not possibly be used. The most obvious proof, this is from your website, the most obvious proof that Jehovah can spell Yahuwah wrong as Jehovah is the fact that the letter J does not even exist in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Furthermore, the English language did not have the letter J before about 1500. For example, the very first edition of King James Version of the Bible in 1611 contained no J, not even one.
How much time I got there, bro?
Just about a minute,
15.
So this is what was in the original King James. And we're all probably familiar with that. And you know, but don't you see, you're destroying the Scriptures. He warns you to beware of the scribes. Beware of them. They changed his name 6,820 times. He's prophesied to Jeremiah. Now, when you read Leviticus 23, Now you can keep in mind who the Creator was. Unless you know His name. You know that, the name of Jesus could not have been so. It was not so, didn't exist until the mid-1600s of this common era. As a matter of fact, the translator translated three other people's names that were spelled exactly the same. So, what name is it? What is His name? If we listen to the translators, we don't know. And if we listen to men who twist the Scriptures and believe that Paul's a liar, then we're also deceived. You see, the Word is forever. And I'm sure my time's up, and we'll get into this a little deeper because it's an essential, important thing. And I urge you to listen to what Pat's got to say. And I thank you for your time.